Blog Talk Radio.
So this song says, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know when it is gonna be.
Yes, sir. I don't know how he's going to do it, but one thing I know is he's going to do it. Don't know how, but I know he's going to do it. He's going to do it for you because
it's going to work, bro.
There's no other reason but because you asked him, he's going to do it. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, the apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. No, he's going to do it. He's going to do it because you ask him to do it. He's going to do it because that's the kind of God we're serving. Let me be clear. That's the kind of God that we're serving. I'm so happy for each and every one of you. I'm able to join us on this hour. so many things going on. So before we get started here, we're going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer for the week. I just love when this lady gets going for the week of this week to bless us, bless me anyway, my whole week. So happy that she's here to do that for us. Pastor Bill from Akron, Ohio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Praise God. God be the glory. The scripture I'd like to open up with is coming from Colossians 1 and verse 12, reading from the King James, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen, amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're thanking you for another day, Father God. We're thanking you for this word that you're about to receive, Father God. We ask that you will bless our pastor in a mighty way, Father God. Use him, and we binding up anything and everything that's not of you right now in the name of Jesus, so this word will go forth, Father God. You said your word will not come back forth. Lord, bless all those who got to prayer. Be with those that are listening by internet, those who have called in, Father God, and those that will participate. Yes, that you will bless our pastor as he teaches the word today, Father God. As I said, bind up anything to try to hinder the word from being brought forth today, Father God, and help us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive it. Be with all those who are sick and shut in. Be with those who are bereaved. Be with those who are going through, Father God. We know you working things out for their good. But Lord, bless all those. Bless those who had the time to join us today and couldn't. And Lord, we're thanking you for all things. And we're thanking you most of all for your word. Now, Lord, have your way in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
God bless you.
There's a lot of things I want to cover. A lot of things I'm just leaning on God for. Sometimes when you make a checklist, you say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But you have to make a checklist of faith. And also you have to say, if it's God's will, that's what it's going to be. If it ain't God's will, I'm going to be part of it. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of doing things without God being part of it. So God has to be part of it for me. I'm just speaking the will of God. And now that brings me to this point here. But it brings me to this point. Because I was thinking about Psalms 90. And I don't know if we understand how awesome that is. And I was going to get into your checklist, too. But I thought about Psalms 91 because it's the first Psalm. You got to have a personal checklist. That's what I was wrong with that. It has to become personal. And in Psalms 91, which a lot of y'all are familiar with, it's something that I'm going to discuss. But before I go there, I also want to discuss, when we're talking about God reproducing himself in us, you got to have faith in that. Yeah, you got to have faith in that. You got to have so much faith that you know it's God's will, that he wants you to, he wants to live in you. You got to know that he thinks that much of you and not listen to some of these beanbag preachers that want to tell you you ain't this and you ain't that, and God can't use you, and they so, you know, that's where they're at. And I got to talk to some other people. See, if all you're going to do is focus on money, and I call it filthy lucre, because that's what the Bible called it, filthy lucre. So this preacher guy, I could tell, he was supposed to be a prophetess, whatever. She felt a little somewhat about it because she hit it back to me. Oh, that filthy lucre. I said, yes, that filthy lucre. So I didn't get off of it. But you got to know that that's not what you're about. You're about getting in the Word of God, and the Word of God is getting in you. You're about your eternal life, man.
Yeah.
And that brings me to the next point, brothers and sisters. You gonna, we're living in a time now, you're going to have to do everything you can to stay in God's will.
Yes, amen.
I better tell you what I mean. Because, see, it's so much activity going on around us with children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, folks still pulling on you. You can't even have a decent life. People pulling on you. You're trying to go through and fro in the land. You just do your normal business, and you have to pray there, and you pray your way back. We're living in perilous times, brothers and sisters. Folks getting shot just for going to the store. We're in perilous times. Yes, it's wars and rumors of wars. We don't know what the government doing, how it's going to do. All we pretty much know is God is in control. At the end of the day, that's pretty much all we can really bank on, is that God is still in control. No matter what it looks like, God is yet in control. And do not forget that. See how it looks, how ugly it looks, how beautiful it looks. God is yet in control, man. You got to understand that. So you got to make your a faith list, and we're going to get into that. A checklist, I might well say, and it needs to be on faith. And then we're going to finish up God reproducing himself in us. So as a branch, I'm going to bear his kind of fruit. I'm going to labor together with him. He and I are going to operate together. I'm going to identify with him like he identified with me. He called me his child. I'm going to call him my daddy. And ain't a devil in hell going to stop it. Doesn't matter.
Amen.
You know, so we want to finish up that. We want to finish up Colossians 1 and 12, where Paul said, thank be to the Father who made us meet to be partakers of inheritance of the saints. Brothers and sisters, God have made you to be meet. M-E-E-T, you're comparable to him. He made you so you can be like him. He made you so you can be one with him. It's that same word that God took Adam and Eve. He made Eve a helpmeet, a M-E-E-T. A giraffe couldn't be that M-E-E-T. A tiger couldn't be that M-E-E-T. Had to be somebody who could join in and be one with Adam. So God telling us here in the New Testament that he have made us to be the M-E-E-T. Woo, that's powerful.
Amen. Yes.
Adam had nobody else. Nobody else that he could be the M-E-E-T with. So God had to make him one. Listen, brothers and sisters, God don't want to be the M-E-E-T with nobody but us, his children. So Paul caught a hold of that revelation, and boy, he began to thank God, praise him, that, hey, we can be one with God now. But here's the problem. The problem is that we limit God in us. We got to stop that. The scripture speaking to Paul in Philippians 2:13, and we're going to go there in a little bit. He says, if it is God which worketh in us, or in you both, to do his will and to do his good pleasure. God wants to work in you. So don't be telling me how you're not fit. And don't let preachers or anybody else tell you you ain't fit. God want to be that M-E-E-T with you and in you. Remember, you're the branch, man. You can't get away from that. You're abiding in him. You're living in his word. Yeah. He said, I'm the vine. Ye are the branches. So don't let folks poison you and tell you, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. No, all you got to do is stay connected. And the way you stay connected to the vine is to stay in the word. You don't believe that? Go to John 15. You'll see it. It's right there. It's real plain. It's not hard to understand either. Okay? So we want to deal with that a little bit. And so hopefully we can get back to all this stuff. But first, I got to share a little vision that God put in my spirit. And some of y'all are really familiar with this scripture. It's kind of, you got to personalize sometimes your declaration. You know, you get up and you declare things over your life. You declare that you're the head and you're not the tail. That you're above and not beneath. You know how you get up and declare things over your life. That you're not going to live in poverty, but you're going to be rich. You're going to be on the top. You know, you start declaring the things of God over your life. Greater is he that is in you than the he that's in the world. You know how we declare things.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
We have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, God showed me something in Psalms 91. So I won't go through the other ones. I was going to go through this to give you an illustration, but I think I pretty much got what I'm trying to go with this. In Psalms 91, see, nothing the devil dishes out goes unanswered by the word of God. The scripture is powerful, but it has become even more so when we speak it out. When you begin to speak that word out, stop living beneath who you are. The Bible says hold fast to your profession or your confession. You got to speak that thing out, man. You got to declare it. You got to say it. I don't care if you feel it or don't. Say it because that's the word. You're agreeing with the word of God. Nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with you agreeing with the word of God. Yeah. So don't wait until the fact, don't wait until you're faced with different facts. Don't wait for you to faced with different troubles to declare protection over your life and over your family and over your children. Use this personalized declaration in Psalms 91 to unleash the power of God to protect your life, protect you in your life. Use this. The Lord had woke me up with this here. Don't wait until you are faced with troubles. Don't do it now. Don't put it in the atmosphere. Let the devil know I live under the shadow. One verse says, I live in the shelter. I like that word. He said, I live in the shelter of the Most High. And I will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. See, you got to understand why they say shelter. If you ain't never lived in a shelter, you may not get this one. But you have to declare that. You have to decree that, hey, I'm in the shadow of the Almighty. I'm in his shelter. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. I ain't depending on the government. I get a check. I ain't depending on that check. They might just cut it at any moment. We got a bunch of fools up in the White House right now and in Congress and in the Senate. Yeah. What these people care about, making sure the government run is nothing. Trust me, brother and sister. Better put trust in the right place. Well, you know, I'm depending on that check. No, you're depending on God to make sure them people do right about that check. That's what you're depending on. And I'm going to get a little bit more into it maybe this week. But I just wanted to drop this on you. So God told me that he is our refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. See, you got to make it personal. Just like in the 23rd Psalms, there's 17 personal pronouns. The I, mine. They call it the first person singular.
Okay.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Y'all know what it says. What I'm going to do. You got to make it personal. So, the Lord is who I'm trusting in. He is my refuge. He is my place of safety. He is my God. And I trust in him. You know why? Because he will rescue me from all the traps, from all to protect me from the deadly diseases, from the deadly stuff folks speak not their mind. God protect you from that garbage. Let's along with some of these diseases going on out here. Let's along with some of these folks and how they're trying to backstab you, speaking all these stuff against you and the ministry. See, this is personal now. He will cover me with the feathers and shield me with his wings. His faithful promise on my armor of protection. So sometimes all I do is have to think about his promises. See, when God promised you something, you can take it to the bank. When he promised you, the woman, you remember the woman who Jesus said, go and sin no more? Remember he promised you? Because, see, sometimes I think about it. He said, go ye therefore into all the world, Matthew 28:20. He says, and preach the gospel. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So sometimes I get myself in different situations, and I have to remember God's promises. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what it says. So I look to the right, goodness is there. I look to the left, mercy is there. Sometimes I have to grab a little mercy and say, Lord, have mercy. See, it's personal.
Yeah.
He will cover me. That's what he's going to do. His faithful promise on my armor, and it's my protection. I'm not afraid of the terror of the night, the dangerous things that lie ahead for me. It doesn't bother me. I'm not afraid. I don't care what disease comes. I don't care anything about no COVID. Oh, preacher, I wouldn't say that. I don't care what you say. I'm talking about me now because it's personal. See, if I didn't make it personal, I might listen to you, but I can't listen to you right now. I don't care about no disease. AIDS know not to come 10 miles within my house. You know, see, sickness know, and a lot of times we let Satan get away with a lot of stuff, but we're going to have to start rebuking that stuff and turning on it. And you're going to have to share it with somebody because sometimes you may get a little weak and you may forget your sticker notes, you know. You forgot to rebuke that creep that morning. And he may bring a little sniffles your way. But I just refuse to let him have the victory when I have it. I'm not afraid of disease. I'm not afraid of the darkness. I'm not afraid of disasters. They all are under the hand of the Almighty. Though 1,000 may fall by my side, or 10,000 die around me. This evil will not touch me. And if I don't mind, if you don't mind, let me tell you something. I don't care what's going on with Johnny having nothing to do with me. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be all arrogant and so forth. I'm just trying to tell you, when you make it personal, well, you know, they lost their home. Brother and sister, I feel for them. Don't get me wrong. But don't have nothing to do with me because they lost their home. Had nothing to do with me. It's personal. So if you don't mind me telling you, it's very personal. I'm depending on God to be my protection. Now, you may get out from under the umbrella. Because, see, I understand one day it's raining and the next day it's sunshine and whatever. But see, it's personal. So when the rain is, God provided me an umbrella. When the sun is shining, yeah. I got sunglasses on. I just want you to know that. So however you take it, that's you. You want to believe God. See, because sometimes God only operates in faith. So if your faith is in something that God's not in it, you're going to lose out. But if your faith is where God's faith is at and where God's word is at, you're batting 100. So some stuff I have to stop saying. I have to start telling people, well, if God do it for me, he going to do it for you. Now, you may not be willing to do what I do. Zebedee, mother, asked Jesus, grant that these two sons, one to sit on the right and one to sit on the left. Jesus said, well, can they drink of the cup? Yes, Lord, they can do it. Will they be baptized? Say, yes, Lord. Jesus said, well, that ain't mine to do. That's up to the Father. That's God's part. Listen, brothers and sisters, everybody can't do what Jesus did, even though I know what John 14 says. But it's for believers. See, it's scriptures that we take out of context, and we never really look at that thing and dissect that thing. I can give you a real one that's really, really, people use this scripture. And I have to go here because it's personal. And this is a personal scripture, too, because a lot of people use it. But they're not understanding that what it's really saying. They use it because of their situation at that time. They need some confirmation. They need to feel good. And so if they say this scripture, it'll make things all right. It's not going to be all right. Because if you don't fit the bill, it ain't going to be okay. Now, I know folks will say, tell you a lot of stuff, but you're going to have to read for yourself. You're going to have to believe for yourself. I can't believe for you. I might can read for you, but can't believe for you. Okay? The big difference. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this because God put it in my spirit to tell you this. In Romans 8:28, I'm going to go to all of these verses, but I want to say this one. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Well, that's a whole lot of stuff right there. You got to unpack. Man, I know that all things working together for my good. It didn't say that, brothers and sisters. It didn't say that. It never said that. Take this scripture as being personal. He starts out by talking about God such as the heart, the spirit such as the heart. Know what is the mind of the spirit because he maketh intercession for the saint. You got to know that you're a saint. And you got to know it's according to the will of God. And he said, now based on what I know, my knowledge of God, not all things, that's everything. Everything, he said, is going to work to my good. Now, here's why, because I love God. And then you have to ask yourself, do I really love God? How do you know you love God? Do you love God according to the word of God? Because the word of God said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Are you keeping his commandment? Or have you allowed doubt to creep up in there? Or are you being a sinner? Are you going to make it yours anyway without the God line? See, you got to understand. Just like sometimes when you go bowling, for those that never been bowling, You might need to tell them to put up the bumpers so you don't hit the gutter. See, some of what being said, you don't have bumpers up. So you might throw that ball in the gutter. So you need bumpers up. So if you get too far to the right, boom, the bumpers will kick it back. If you get too far to the left, boom, the bumper will kick it back in. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? Brothers and sisters, this don't have no bumpers on it. It's real plain to me. Things are going to work together for your good now because you love God. And you know that you love God. And you know you love God according to his word. Then you go and check the scripture and see what that says about if you love God. You are not going to assume anything. See, you don't have no bumpers here to kick you back in. No, you don't have that. You're on your own. And you can't live on hope. I hope it get in there and hit that center pin. No, you're on your own. You got to hear this. Amen. Then you get to the other part that you can confirm this to them who are called according to his purpose. So why are you doing it? Are you doing it for God's purpose? Are you doing it because you have a call on your life and you know you've been called according to the word of God? And also, did you answer the call? See, so it's a whole lot of stuff going on there. So it becomes personal. It becomes very personal right there. But you got to make sure you understand what's really being said. Things are not going to work for your good because your daddy is a preacher or because your mama go to this church or because you did this for the homeless or this. No, they ain't working together for your good. No, it didn't say that. She got to lay it out the way it is. So now I can go back to what I was talking about in Psalms 91, my declaration, because it's personal. See, I know he's going to cover me with his wings. I know that. And then I know he's faithful. I know I can trust him. I know I don't have to be afraid now. 1,000 may fall at my side. All around me, people die. They have nothing to do with me. I'm not moved by what happened to my neighbor. You know, I saw something on TV the other day. A tornado came through. And it wiped out every house on that man's right side. And it touched two on the left side. But it destroyed everything else. But didn't bother him. Well, not let me say it didn't bother him. You know, maybe a few shingles, stuff like that fell off. But it didn't tear him out the foundation. He still had his house. He was still habitable. It was still livable. He just still inhabited that house. Everybody else had to go to Red Cross and try to find a place to live at. But not him. Didn't bother him. Well, preacher, why are you saying that? Because I'm growing in grace. I'm growing in God's favor. And then I know that. I know I have favor over my life because I have his angels who are protecting me. Because sometimes I get a little, you know, discombobulated. I get a little to the right or to the left. God sends his angels of protection for me. Because I trust in his name. Because I know how powerful that name is. His name is as powerful as his blood. And he will rescue me. He will protect me. So when I call on him, he answers me. And the Bible says he delivered me. He's always with me. Even when I'm in trouble, he rescued me.
Yeah.
And he do it righteously. He gives me long life. I tell people, okay, if you want long life, read this and start declaring this. Start declaring this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You can get healed on this scripture. You can get delivered on this scripture. But you can speak the personal declaration of Psalm 91 every moment in time of trouble. Whenever you need faith, boost, the word of God is a powerful weapon against the enemy. So let me tell you, it's available for you. And let me tell you, be sure to use it and don't lose it. Begin to speak that. And yes, God wants that for you. Just make it personal. Know that, hey, I'm with God, man. I'm abiding in him and he abiding in me. That's my refuge. That's where I'm hiding at. I'm in that shelter.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. We'll get into the lesson part maybe tomorrow. I'm not sure if anybody have any things. Look at it like this, brothers and sisters. God has stock in you. He has stock in you. He got faith in you. He done put his faith out there before the foundation of the world that you will see it and your eyes will become open. God is reproducing himself in you. Remember, you're imitating God now. You mimicking God. People see this. God has his promise out there that no matter what happens, he's with you. He declared.
Amen.
He's already declared his love for you. He called you my little children. He done went through the pains of birthing Christ in you. Remember we read that scripture over there in Galatians 4:19, my little children, whom I travail in birth again until Christ, till I can get Christ formed in you. Yes, God got stock in you. He building Christ, the inner man in you. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God got stock in you. And you need to tell the devil you belong to God now. I don't care what you did. It didn't matter. Just don't be afraid to acknowledge it. Don't be afraid to say it. Don't be afraid to be bold with it and let people know. But grow in grace. Let everything be graceful. The words that come out of your mouth. Let it be of love. Because that's what's in you. God invests his love in you. He's putting stock in us. He wants to fill you to the brim with his knowledge. With his goodness, the exact kind that's in Christ, he wants to let that be in us. So he's invested. God vested in you. So you let the devil know. Hey, I'm protected. My covenant has protected me. I got a covenant with God that's not going to be broke nor nullified. I got a covenant with God. I got a contract. You let anybody mess with Israel, America is going to bring everything she got that way. So we got a covenant with Israel. We're going to protect her at any cost. Even if we have to lose lives doing it, we got to do it because we're in covenant. Well, God got angels, according to Psalms 91. Encamped around us. I may have to talk on a little angel for a moment. Get some folks to believe again. You got to believe that you got angels, man. Well, I don't see them in the natural. You ain't supposed to see them in the natural. You won't see them in the natural. They're not designed to be in a natural form. But they're here because the word of God says they're here. Now, what you have to do is get to that place to recognize your angel, to recognize in the spirit what's going on. And that's why you grow. That's part of that growing process. And we'll get into that too. It's designed for us to grow.
Yes,
but you got to come out of some other stuff to grow. That dispensation is over with. Pastor, I don't mean to be ugly and mean and all that good stuff. But, you know, aren't you glad that your children... You only kept them up in you for about 9 months. Can you imagine keeping them in you for 9 years? What would happen?
I'm just thankful for the nine. Can you imagine them kids ruining you for 9 years? Listen, brother, sister, let that be a lesson for us. I know you think, oh, well, come on, Pastor. No, you got to think about that. 9 months, that baby got to come out because it's going to really start another life now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, you watch in about 3 months, that baby ain't going to be the same size it were when it came out. It's growing.
Amen.
Well, we have to grow in God's grace. We have to continue to mature in God's grace. Some of us still want to live back when we first got saved. And you ain't grown nothing. All you know is I got saved. I speak in tongues. I pray to the in the Holy Ghost. I love the Lord. I do God's will. We ain't got past all of those testimonies. We're not growing in his grace. God expects for us to lay aside all of that stuff and begin to become to the full stature of Christ. So we got growing to do. That's me, you, and you. We got to continue to grow in his grace. That's his favor. And he wants you to grow.
Amen.
He don't want you to be a retard. He don't want you to be a midget or gidget. He wants you to grow.
Mm-hmm.
If Christ had to learn and grow, what make you think you've been exempt from that? No, you haven't been exempt from that. I don't care how much education you have. I don't care who you know. Everybody has to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let us all grow together in this grace, in God's unmerited favor, if you want to call it that. But that's the tool that God used to get us like him. Why? Because God is producing himself in us, and he wants us to stay the course. Don't get off the course, because other people haven't seen the light. You walk in the light as he's given you the light. And then we'll get into that. Maybe on tomorrow, how people limit God in them. Got to stop limiting God in us. Got to stop. We got to let God grow in us. Minds hadn't seen. Eyes have not seen. Her ears have not heard. God wants to grow in us.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to leave it there. Anybody have any comments? Press 1. Anything you like to share? Press 1. Those some things that we talk about, anything else on your mind. Believe in God for.
Amen.
But those are things we're going to talk about this week. Go ahead, Pastor.
No problem, Pastor. Reading Psalms 91 from the Message Bible. It says, you who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in the dire shadow, says this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you, and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outreach arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harms. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not diseases that prowl through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will even gaze you. You'll stand untouched, watch it all fall from a distance. Watch what watch the wicked turn into corpse. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick your lions and serpents and, yes, and kick your lions and serpents from the path. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, God says, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you long drink of salvation. Amen, amen. And that was from the Message Bible, Pastor.
Amen, amen. Like I said, you know, we're going to touch on it, because we got so much. I mean, I could just take the first verse, man. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Not everybody. So you got to make sure you're dwelling in the secret place. We may have to teach on that. You may need to know what the secret place is. Everybody ain't in the secret place. And don't run up in some building and think you're in the secret place.
Amen, amen.
So there's stuff that we may have to unpack here.
Yeah.
It's he that dwelleth in the secret place is going to reap these benefits of the Most High. See, that go beyond Satan stuff. Because, see, remember them demons, they recognized who Jesus was. Jesus was the God of them. The Son of the Most High God. So they knew that was a place that was higher than them that they couldn't even go. But Jesus came from there.
Yeah.
They recognized that.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to recognize the Most High. And then when you're in that place, when you're in that, I like to call it shelter. I don't know where I read that at, but I read it somewhere where you're in the shelter. You're in God's shelter. Man, that did something for me. See, you ever been out and you needed to come in for protection in a shelter? Boy, it's powerful. But anyway, anybody else? Praise God. Anybody else like to share anything? Anything at all? Hallelujah. Okay. Bless God. Thank you so much, Pastor, for reading that. Listen, you say you read that from the Messenger Bible?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. I want to say that might have been from
The New Living. The New Living.
Oh, that's what you read from? The New Living?
No. I read it from the Message Bible that you were talking about the shelter. And that's in the New Living translation. It starts off, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
Check God's word, too, because I'm thinking that. And it might have been the Amplified. I don't know. It might have been the new. You said the New Living Bible?
Yeah, it's in the New Living Translation.
Okay, yeah. But they reference to this place as a place like a shelter. And that's important, brothers and sisters. Once you understand, when you're being sheltered, when you go in a shelter, you don't have any more responsibility they have your responsibility. They're going to feed you. They're going to clothe you. See, that's where I was looking at that. Like, right off, I'm finna get some protection now. I'm going to be all right. See, you got to kind of like, that's where I was at with that, okay? I'm just sharing for those that may not quite see what I'm saying. When you go in a shelter, it's like, okay, I'm finna get a bath. I'm finna get new clothing. I'm finna get a warm meal. I'm getting ready to be protected because I'm in a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the place of the Most High, know that you're getting ready. So we may unpack that this week. But anyway, those are some things that we're going to talk about. Anybody else have anything else they want to share? And then I know the negative stuff, people. I ain't trying to talk about the negative. I'm talking about the positive thing that goes on in the shelter for the Lord,
Amen.
The Lord's shelter, you know. Well, we got one more person here. Hold up. I miss it. Pastor, Sister Evangelist Mary.
Good afternoon, everyone. Pastor Bill, Pastor Bailey. Beasley. I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I don't think so. My mom is out of the hospital. Did I tell you? Did I let you guys
know?
No. She's out of the hospital. She told me if they let her go home, she will get better. So she's home
Amen.
Now.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
The Lord is awesome. He is worthy.
Yes, he is.
Worthy God.
Yes. Well, I appreciate that praise report. My phone messed up. And matter of fact, I got to go down there and report it stolen so I can get back in contact with some folks. I got to go down and report it stolen. But I'm so happy to hear that. You just reminded me that what I need to be doing today. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
That's a good praise.
She
said
keep praying for her, though, because she's not eating yet. So just, you know, keep praying. She tell me, keep praying. Just keep praying for me. Pray about my eating.
Mm-hmm.
My appetite.
Amen.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Father God, we thank you right now that every organ is going to be restored and function like it's supposed to in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
Father
Lord.
God, we thank you for the healing. And Father
thank
God,
you,
we just know that you are over that situation. We know that you're healing her on a day-to-day basis.
Yes.
And because you're protecting
Lord.
Her, Father God, we thank you for it.
Yes, Lord.
We thank
you,
Father
you,
God, that there's no harm shall come against her.
Yes.
I thank you, Heavenly
yes,
Father,
Lord.
That you're going to let every part of her body be restored because you are God. That's what you do, Lord. That's who you are. You're still in control. We know you're in control. Disease is not in control. Sickness is not in control. Father God, we know you're in control. So we know you're Lord. You're Lord and Master over everything, sickness, disease. You're Lord.
Hallelujah.
I thank you, Father God, that you'll breathe your spirit on her and that she'll eat more than she ever ate. You'll breathe your spirit on her, Father God, and her healing will come immediately. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that we can make that declaration today in the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name
thank you, Heavenly Father, for it. And Father God, we declare right now that anything that looked like a tumor, any growth that's not supposed to be in her body, we call it down right now. We said go back to the pit of hell right now. We release, Father God, your anointing on that body right now. We make demands right now, Father God, that you will release your spirit in her body. And that everything will balance out according to your word. No good thing you will withhold from us. So I thank you for it. Thank you. for delivering her. I thank you, Father God, that every organ, every tissue, every function will line up according to your word. Let it be manifest no later than tomorrow. It will be manifest. I thank you for it. Let everybody see it, know that there is a God in Zion that's over sickness and diseases and the power of the enemy. And forgive us for not obeying you quickly. Then now, thank you for it. And we ask all these blessings. We agree with those, Father God, that's praying for her blessing and her healing, and we'll put ourselves in agreement with them in the name of Jesus. Everybody on this line said amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
Amen.
Anyone else? Somebody raised their hand and took it back. Anyone else? Yes, sir. You want to have something to say? Go ahead. Hallelujah. Don't make me start pleading the blood now. Y'all know what the blood will do. Blood ain't no joke.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I go to that blood, but when I can't go no another, see, I know the blood works. I plead the blood of Jesus in a heartbeat. You talking about protection.
Amen.
I plead the blood. I got on the airplane and plead the blood over the airplane. I don't play. Every wicked thing the devil done planned, it ain't going to happen on this plane. Now, while I'm on here, you got to go hijack another plane. This is going to work for you. You're not allowed here.
Hallelujah.
I know the blood work, man. I saw myself having a safe landing because I plead the blood. It worked. I didn't know how I was going to get my luck. I plead the blood. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Just got to have faith in this stuff, man. And because of his blood protection. Don't make me go there, boy. I'm trying to hold back.
Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I got faith in his word. I got faith in his blood. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anybody else? Boy, I'm trying to hold myself here. Anybody else? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All righty then.
Thank
y'all so much. And thank you, Evangelist Pastor Marilyn. And, hey, we'll see you guys on tomorrow.